We are in the middle of a series called One, and we've been doing this since the beginning of 2016. We started out 3 weeks ago talking about one person, and we talked about John the Baptist and the difference he made and how he understood his purpose in life. A few weeks ago, we talked about one decision, and we looked at a young girl, a military leader, and a farmer, the story about Elijah, Elisha, and this young girl in Elisha's service, and how that made such a difference in his life. Last week, we talked about one prayer. We looked at the Lord's Prayer, and I hope that this last week you spent time praying through that intentionally each day this last week. Today, we're going to be talking about one invitation. And so, for our purposes today, I just want to challenge you to do something a little bit abnormal. I want to challenge you to maybe picture yourself not in church today. Okay? So just imagine yourself in a coffee shop, perhaps. Or maybe in your breakfast nook in your home. Or maybe at a restaurant. Or maybe at school. Or maybe at the gym. But just picture yourself, for our purposes today, just sitting over a cup of coffee with a buddy, a friend, a coworker, someone that you know, and you're just talking about life. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody from the gym. Maybe it's somebody that you work with. But just picture yourself not at church this morning, but just having a normal conversation about life. And maybe if you're an adult, you're talking about your family or your kids or your work or a vacation that you desperately need to take right now, like tomorrow, somewhere warm. Maybe if you're a student, you're talking about your favorite teacher. Or perhaps your least favorite teacher. Or maybe it's an upcoming test or something like that. You're just talking about life. Whether you're an adult or a student, maybe you're talking about the big football game this afternoon. And the one that the Broncos are going to win, right? Yes. And, you know, or maybe if you're not a Broncos fan, you could care less. I know there are a few Chiefs fans and Raiders fans and Falcon fans in the room. And, you know, it really is pointless because they're not playing anymore, right? And so, so maybe you're not concerned about today's game or the Super Bowl 2 weeks from now. But just picture yourself carrying on a normal conversation, a couple cups of coffee, and just spending some time with a friend. Maybe you're talking about the wonderful outdoor recreation activities we have here in Western Colorado. Just normal things. And then all of a sudden, the conversation takes kind of a spiritual turn. And, you know, they begin to ask you about your faith and about the Bible and about God, about Jesus. What do you do in that moment? I mean, has that ever happened to you? Has it happened to you where you're talking about life or whatever, and all of a sudden the conversation takes a spiritual turn? Maybe you're not sitting in a coffee shop. Maybe you're sitting on an airplane and you can't escape the individual next to you. Maybe it's someone next to you in the cubicle at your workplace. Whatever it is, has that happened to you? What do you do? Do you get nervous? Do you get a little worried? Is there kind of a pause in the conversation? Or maybe do you say, I'm sorry, what is it? What were you saying? I wasn't listening. Do you intentionally try and turn the conversation to more safer area, more comfortable area? Do you just roll with it and begin to share with them? It happens. Some of us perhaps think, well, I really don't know enough about the Bible. I really don't know enough about God to answer their questions. And so I just, you know, it's uncomfortable for me. Or I really don't know enough about the Bible, and I don't want to mess up the message of Jesus Christ. And so I just try and steer the conversation elsewhere. We just kind of avoid it. I understand that feeling, but I also want to share with you what God's Word says this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter wrote these words in verse 15, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared." Everybody say, always. Always. He doesn't say when you're in a good mood. He doesn't say when you're having a good day. He doesn't say when you want to. He says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Here's what I want to do today. I want to show you where you can direct that spiritual conversation, how you can do that with confidence, and how you can invite a person into this adventure with Jesus Christ. Now, if you're taking notes this morning on the program, if you have your smartphone out or whatever, this is the first thing I want you to take note of this morning. That is this: one invitation can change a person's life and eternity. I hope you know that. One conversation, one invitation can completely change a person's life in eternity. It's true. Many of you are here this morning because a few days ago, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, maybe years ago, you accepted the invitation of someone to know more about God or just to come to church or something like that. You're sitting here today because of that. Maybe you're sitting here because someone asked your parents or your grandparents, and so you've grown up in the church because someone asked a long time ago. Maybe you're looking across the room and you're seeing someone that you invited recently or a few years ago, and they're sitting here at your invitation. They have a relationship with Jesus Christ because you invited them. You know one invitation can make an eternal difference in the lives of those around you. You believe that to be true. I bet we could all agree that the message of Jesus Christ, I hope you understand this, the message of Jesus has traveled century to century because one person invited another person, who invited another person, who invited another person, who invited another person, who invited another person, on down the line, 2,000 years. That's how the message of Jesus Christ has gone. And so here's what I want to do today. For the next 20 minutes or so, I want to show you how you can invite a person into a relationship with Jesus. Now, when I say you, I know that many of you are thinking I'm talking to the you sitting next to you. No, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to each and every one of you who are gathered here this morning because we have a role in this message. We have a situation that we have to deal with. And so we have a responsibility. I want to show you how you can invite someone into this adventure with Jesus. So again, just imagine today that you're sitting over a cup of coffee or you're at school or you're in a cubicle at work or you're at the gym, that sort of thing. And I want to show you how you can direct that conversation with just one verse. One verse. Trying to keep things simple as we start off this new year. And just one verse. You don't have to know 15 or 20 verses. If you do, from the Old Testament, New Testament, that is wonderful. That is great. But just one verse this morning, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. In just a moment, it's going to be up on the screen. I've written it on this napkin. Why would I do that? Well, I want to show you how simple this is. This is just a napkin from our kitchen here, but you could use a Starbucks napkin or, I don't know, an Applebee's napkin or whatever. You can share this message with people and introduce them into this adventure with Jesus Christ. Picture this as a big napkin. I was going to have my wife write this for you because her handwriting is much more legible than mine. And those of you who are sitting in the back or up in the balcony, that might be hard to read, but it'll be on the screen again. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. I want us to read this together in your best, I'm a good reader voice. Okay, can we do that? Okay, let's do this. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. With that one single verse, I want to show you this morning how you can introduce someone to Jesus Christ. The first thing, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to put a box around the word wages. Okay? Wages. So you're sitting down with somebody and the conversation takes that turn. You can say, hey, this is what God's word said. It says in Romans 6, 23. And start by boxing in the word wages and then on your notes, write the word wages on your napkin, wherever it is, over here on the left. Wages. Now when you think of wages, what comes to mind? Chances are it's probably payment for something. You deserve wages if you have a job. You expect wages if you have a job. It's something that you earn, something that you expect to get back in life. Now, if I were to think about the first time I earned wages, it was when I was about 13. I was just, you know, mowing yards and that sort of thing. I remember that time frame because once I earned enough money that year, my mom informed me that now you get to be a taxpayer. I remember when I first started earning wages. I would go on later to do a number of things. I officiated Little League sports. I worked at Lowe's for a couple years. I worked at a fast food restaurant that sold burgers and ice cream. Did a number of things. Worked at a movie theater for a while. I'm willing to bet many of you, most of you, have done a number of different things to earn wages in life. It's something you earn, something you deserve. Let's go back to the verse. If you're taking notes, put a box around the word sin. And write sin down underneath wages. Sin. When you think about sin, what comes to mind? Maybe it's missing the mark. Maybe it's messing up. Maybe it's shortcomings or guilt. Maybe it's pain that you've caused somebody or shame in your own life. Something that you know isn't good. Probably many things that we would think about. I was watching either Animal Planet or OETA, Nature Channel, something like that a while back. And we don't have cable, so I know it was while we were traveling and staying in a hotel or something. And, you know, I want you to know, I don't watch a lot of Animal Planet or something. When I do, it's always something manly, like bears and lions and killing stuff, right? Or animals fighting, that sort of thing. This particular time, it was a show about birds. But it was about eagles, so that's okay, right? And so it's showing this eagle, and this eagle is kind of gliding over this lake in the mountains. I don't know if it was Colorado or where, but this eagle is flying over, and all of a sudden you see this eagle dive bomb this lake, and it comes up with a fish, big fish. And it's got its talons all hooked in there, and you know, it's just kind of just taken off, and I think that's how they fly, right? Just kind of just flapping their wings. And so it takes off, and it begins to head towards land. You can tell that it's going to carry this fish off towards land so that it can eat the fish, right? Well, as it gets closer to land, you see kind of what's happening. It also begins to get lower and lower and closer to the water. And it's not because it intends on landing right there. It's because the fish is too big. It's struggling. And all of a sudden, you can kind of see the eagle, and it's trying to let go of this fish, and it can't let go of the fish. And so eventually, the eagle actually crashes into the lake and goes under the water. The fish is too big for it to carry it. And I have to tell you, I didn't really think about that then when I was watching it, but just kind of recently as I'm kind of thinking about sin and that sort of thing, that's kind of how it works, isn't it? I mean, we kind of soar around over our neighborhoods, over our job, over our families, over our friends, over our school, and we're kind of just, things are going great and majestic, and then we kind of see something that's a little, we want that. And so we latch onto that with our arms, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, we kind of latch into that. And we get hooked into it. And then we kind of think, well, you know, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Maybe this isn't so good for me. You know, we kind of try and let go of it, but we struggle with that because it's become bigger than we thought it was. And unfortunately, friends, there comes a point in time where we no longer have a hold of the sin, but the sin seems to have a hold of us. And if you've not experienced that, friends, it can drag you down. It can drown you. That's what sin does in our lives. Let's go back to the verse. Put a box around the word death. Then write death down here on the left-hand side. Death. When you think about death, what comes to mind? Is it the end? Heaven or hell? Is it separation, sadness, anxiety, fear? When you think of the word death, what comes to mind? Well, if we were to stop right here today, that wouldn't be a good place to stop, would it? I mean, it's true, for the wages of sin is death. And if we were to stop right there, you'd say, well, gee, I'm glad I went to church today. We're going to die in our sin. Glad I invited my friend to church today. He or she really needed to hear this. I was thinking about inviting a friend. I'm glad I didn't. If we were to stop right there. But that's not the end of the verse. Here's the good news. Continue on. Put a box around the word but. Write the word but down here at the bottom of the page. One T. That's for the junior hires in the room. And the guys. But that word means there's more to the story. We don't end there. It's not the wages of sin is death, the end. But means that there's more to come. We've talked about the bad news. Let's continue on with the good news. Put a box around the word gift. Write the word gift over here on the right-hand side. When you think of a gift, what do you think about? It's unexpected. It's a surprise. Maybe it's something you wanted, but oftentimes it's nice to get a surprise gift. You had no idea it was coming, right? It's something that's free. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. It's something that's just given to you. If we were having coffee together, I might ask you, well, hey, why don't you tell me about one of your favorite gifts you've ever gotten? And I would listen to you share your story and how important that is and maybe see the smile on your face. And then I would share about maybe one of my favorite gifts. When I was a teenager, again, early on, as I started earning money, my parents gave me a gift. They opened up my first checking account. Put a nice little deposit in there as well. And so I saw on my balance sheet, hey, wow, I'm the wealthiest kid around. I'll never spend this $50. There's no way I'll ever spend that, right? But it was a gift, something I didn't earn, something they gave to me. I might talk about the car. My dad bought a 1963 Chevy 2 Nova, and we kind of worked on that and restored that together. I sold that, unfortunately. Wish I still had that car. Might talk about my kids. What an awesome gift they are to my wife and I, or my wife. I married up, right? She's a gift to me. Something that I didn't earn, something I don't deserve, it's a surprise. But as we consider that word gift, here's where the verse gets really interesting. Because gift, not just is it something unexpected, it's the complete opposite of a wage, right? Wages are something we earn. Wages are something we expect. A gift is totally unexpected. They're opposite. So there's this gift in your life that, that God wants to give to you. That's the next word, gift, God. Put a box around the word God. Write God underneath here. When you think about God, what do you think about? I mean, that's probably a whole message or a series of messages that we ought to cover at some point. What do you think about God? I promise you this, one of the most important things in your life is how you understand God, who you believe Him to be, because it affects so many, well, really all of your other decisions, all of your other outlooks on life, what you believe about God. Maybe when you think about God, you think of perfection. You think of holy, pure, those sorts of things. Maybe some of you, when you think about God, you think about someone who's not happy with you right now. Someone who's disappointed in where you're at in life. Maybe you think about Him being generous or loving. Maybe you think about Him as your Father. No matter what you think there, I bet we all could agree that God is the opposite of sin. Sin in our lives is dark, it is terrible, it is bad, and God is going to be the complete opposite of that. He's going to be light and pure and perfection. They're opposites. And God, our Father, wants to give you a gift. What's that gift? Go ahead and put a box around eternal life. Write eternal life over here in the last blank you've got there. Eternal life. When you think about eternal life, what comes to mind? I don't know that we can comprehend eternal life. But I do think we can say it's the opposite of death, right? If death is final, if death is the end, eternal life is just the new beginning. It's the start. It's their opposites. Eternal life is togetherness with God forever. And so here you have it. In one verse, the wages of sin, the situation we find ourselves in, the wages of sin is death. That's where we're at. But God, He wants to give us a gift. This free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so hopefully you can communicate that to an individual. And that brings you to a point where this is where we are, or this is where you might be. The $1 million question is, how do I get from this side to the other side, right? How do I get from the reality I find myself in to the other side? Well, let's put a box around a few other words we haven't covered yet. Christ Jesus. And write Christ Jesus here in the middle. Christ Jesus. If you're artistic, maybe you can draw a bridge. Or even more so, maybe a cross down the middle. Christ Jesus is the only way that we get from the sin in our lives to this gift that God wants to give us. Christ Jesus laid His life on the cross so that you and I could have the gift of eternal life. And so right here in one simple verse is a way that you can introduce someone into this adventure with Jesus. Now here's what I want us to kind of wrestle with today. I'm going to go ahead and give you the takeaway a little bit early on. We still have quite a bit of ground to cover, but here's the takeaway. Do you need to accept or share this message? Do you need to accept this truth into your life, or do you need to share this message with someone else? Because we're probably in one of those two places. We either need to accept it as truth and act on that, or we need to share it with someone else. Some of you are sitting here today and you're thinking, gosh, as you're talking about the wages and the sin and death, that's where I'm at. I understand that. I mean, as you're talking about the eagle and soaring over, I mean, I've been there. I feel like I'm drowning at times in things I'm struggling with. Friends, by accepting Christ Jesus, He takes away your sin. Not because you're perfect or because you're a good person, but because He is perfect and He's capable of doing that. So maybe today is a day, or this week, you need to make this decision about Jesus Christ. You need to, maybe you've been coming here for a while and you like the messages and you like the time of worship, but you need to make a decision and you need to get baptized into Jesus Christ. Friends, maybe that is the place that you need to be. Others, I would be willing to bet the majority of us in the room need to get to a place where we're sharing this message actively with others. We understand this to be true. We believe it to be true. We wear the Christian name tag, or we got the fish bumper sticker on our car, but friends, we've got to begin sharing this message with other people. One invitation, as we covered already, can make all the difference in the world in the life of an individual and their eternity. That is true. Let me tell you something else that's true. Statistically, 75 to 80% of Christians will die not having ever invited someone to know Jesus Christ. I don't know if you knew that was true, but 75 to 80% of Christians will go to heaven without having ever invited someone to go along with them. Does that floor you? I mean, there might be 100 of us in the room today. It's not a good picture. We have a responsibility here, and I get that. I understand that a big part of that is maybe there's some apprehensions or some fear. And again, I get that. And maybe you're thinking, well, Seth, you just don't understand. I know that once I start down this road, then there's going to be all these other questions. How many sons did Abraham have? Did Adam have a belly button? How old is the earth? What about Revelation? What happened to the dinosaurs? Friends, I got to tell you this morning, you don't have to have the answers to all those questions in order to introduce someone into this adventure with Jesus Christ. Now, if you go searching for those answers, that is great. That is wonderful. And you can come back and you can answer those questions. That is good, okay? But you don't have to know those things. When someone says to you over a cup of coffee or in the gym, well, you know, I'd believe, but what about the dinosaurs? Or what about, you know, Revelation, that sort of thing? You can say, you know what? I don't know how old the earth is. I don't know about Revelation. I don't understand very much of it at all. But I do know this. I do know that the wages of sin is death. And I know that the good gift God wants to give us is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I know that. And we covered several months ago. There's a lot of things I don't know. But I do know that I was blind and now I can see. I know that to be true. So friends, we have a responsibility here. By the way, do you know what Jesus thinks about these conversations? About the conversations that we have with people, or the conversations that we try to avoid with people? Matthew chapter 10, Jesus talks about this topic. Verses 32 and 33 says this: "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." What Jesus is saying in essence is, if you will just speak up for me here, I will speak up for you there. If you will just stand up for me here, I will stand up for you there in heaven. And friends, it's going to be an amazing moment when that takes place. And so for you this morning, you might be saying, this is a message I need to accept. I've never made a stand. I've never spoken up for Jesus. I do need to be baptized today. That sort of thing. Whatever that decision is, friends, I want to challenge you. Don't leave here. Don't get down the road. I'm going to warn you, I got a little ways to go yet, but it's okay. Friends, the rest of us, we have a message that we need to share. Here's what I want to say. For those of you in the room that are a little bit nervous, you might be thinking, gosh, I just don't know that I can write that on a napkin or communicate that to someone. The power is not in the presentation. It's not about, you know, the colors and the boxes and that sort of thing. The power is in the fact that this is the Word of God. This is God's Word. It is true and active. And we can share it with other people. That is what is powerful. We have a message to communicate with other people. It's a responsibility we have. And beyond that, heaven's counting on us. What do you mean by that? Heaven is counting. Well, let me kind of give you a picture this morning. I read this sometime back in the Christian Standard, but kind of picture Jesus getting back to heaven, okay? After he has come here to this earth and he's lived and he's been tortured and he has died on a cross and he has been brought back to life, imagine Jesus getting back to heaven and the angels come up to him and say, Jesus, are you okay? I'm okay. I'm okay. Why? Well, we saw what they did to you. We saw how they listened to you for a while. We saw how they turned on you. We saw how they spat on you and how they heckled you. And we saw how they crucified you. Are you okay? I'm okay. It needed to be done. Well, Jesus, do they know what you did for them? Do the people know what you did for them? Well, you know, I've got a plan in place. Well, okay, what's the plan? I mean, did you tell everyone? Well, I talked to Peter and James and John, and I've asked them to invite others. And I kind of picture a moment of silence, and then another angel kind of speaking up and saying, well, I won't argue with you, you're Jesus, but what happens if 1,000 years from now or 2,000 years from now people are busy? What if they're a little fearful? What if they're sidetracked by other things going on? I mean, surely you have some other plan. No, that's the plan. I told them, and I told them to invite others, and I'm counting on them inviting others, and those people inviting other people, and that person inviting another person, and another person, and that person inviting another person on down the line. That's the plan. I picture him just looking at them and saying, that's the plan. Friends, heaven is counting on us. I do hope that today and this week that you would make a priority to share this message. If you know this message to be true, that you would share this message with other people with boldness, with simplicity. Don't mess it up. The gospel message is a pretty simple concept. We sinned. God sent His Son. He died on a cross for us. We have to accept that. We have to act in faith in that. We need to be baptized and repent and confess. It's a pretty simple concept. Would you share that with boldness this week? Let's pray together.